Short talk this morning. I knew we weren't going to have lots of time, and I just noticed that I made a colossal mistake. We're not in Matthew chapter 9, we're in Matthew chapter 8. So all the way through it says Matthew 9, but it's Matthew chapter 8. One of the things that we're very good at as a church is praying for people who have sickness and pain, and there's a little prayer that we've taught people the last 8 or 9 years that goes like this: my healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. And many of you are using that prayer and are as you connect with people in your workplace, in restaurants, just wherever you meet people. And friends, I'm here to tell you that God seems to like when you and I step out and go to someone, talk to someone, and say, excuse me, but do you have pain in your body? And some are more obvious than others. If you read any of the blogs that I was posting for being away, because I did 3 weeks of speaking at churches in Scotland, in Norway and in England, went to the Catch the Fire Oslo Church. We had a wonderful time there. Great, great healings that took place at that church. Two Sundays ago, we were in Catch the Fire London. Apparently, they thought a celebrity was showing up, and they had like 350 people to show up, and it turns out it was Sandra and I speaking. Normally, they're around 160 people, so that church is really doing well and growing. But here's what the Lord was doing for 3 weeks with me as I was ministering. There was healings at every single meeting, and that was the primary thing that I felt the Lord to speak on. But we were having bone miracles, like just left, right, and center, legs lengthened. We had one lady in Harlow, which is about half an hour east of London, in a church, a 12, 13-year-old girl named Beatrice, and she comes to the meeting wearing a body brace to keep her straight because her back is curved. And she's in terrible pain. She's feeling like she's going to throw up. She's just nauseous from the pain that she's under. And I've learned not to be afraid to go to the most obvious people that need help, not to be afraid of going to people in wheelchairs, not to be afraid of going to people who have a cane and a walking stick, like a white stick, not to be afraid of people who have a seeing eye dog beside them and saying, can I pray for you? I don't know how you are, but I used to be terrified of those people. I can't pray for those people. Show me someone with a headache. Let me start with a headache, is what I would think. And I've learned that Jesus had the very same fears. Maybe not fears. That's maybe not the right word. Jesus had to step out for every miracle he did, just like you and I do. Did you know that? So we're going to go quickly through Matthew chapter 8 and just talk about a couple things as they relate to some of the principles of why God wants us to be healed. So the first part is from the very first little story in this, and it's about a leper. And it says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing. This is the only passage in the whole of the Bible that asks the question, is God willing to heal people? So if there's only ever one question, guess how many answers there's going to be? One. Do you think that would be the right answer or the wrong answer? It would be the right answer, especially if it's Jesus speaking, because he always tells the truth. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone. Go and show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And so Jesus says, Book of Leviticus says that if you feel you've been healed of leprosy, there's a certain protocol. You need to still follow those protocol. So this is the only passage that ever talks about God's will. And the answer is yes. And so guess what that means? God wants you well. Now, some of you are thinking, but there's all sorts of exceptions. Jesus would have had, yes, we're willing, except for, but no, we don't see those. Number two, the next passage, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came after him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, that's not good, and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. Is there any question that Jesus knows that he could solve this person's problem? He knows he can help the man. By the way, Jesus never once ever said no to an invitation to minister to someone. One time he sort of did. A Syrophoenician lady said to him, can you minister to my 12-year-old daughter who's demonized? And Jesus said, well, it's not my time to minister to Gentiles. And she said, well, even the dogs get a little bit. Yeah, you're right. Okay, she can get healed right away too. Jesus always responded to every need that every person had. Why would he do that? Because he knows that our Father in heaven cares for people. And he knows that God cares that people be healed. This man, so Jesus says, I'll go and heal him. The centurion replies, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. And this is the key part of this passage. And a whole bunch of people have never seen this part. The centurion says to Jesus, I myself am a man under authority. What is this man implying? He's implying, Jesus, you're under authority. Is that not what he's saying? So here's what it goes on to say. I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I tell this one go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This guy apparently is the very first person to figure out that Jesus was not healing people. Not of himself. Jesus was actually following orders. Someone of greater authority was telling Jesus what to do, and this Roman centurion figured it out. Jesus, you're not healing people. God's the one who cares about it. You're just the simple middleman. You're the one touching them. You're the one saying something. And Jesus goes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody was feeling that Jesus was the one who was healing them. No. Jesus said 7 times in John's gospel, I can do nothing by myself. I can only do what I hear or only do what I see. I can only do what I'm taught. Remember those passages? So what the scripture is saying is that Jesus, even though he's divine, never healed anybody through his divinity. That's what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that Jesus relied on the anointing of the Holy Spirit for every miracle, and he relied on Father God to give him the orders. Have you ever been in a restaurant where you've looked around and all of a sudden you've been drawn to someone and seen what's going on in their life and you just feel, I'm supposed to go over and pray? How many of you have had that kind of thing happen? Probably most of you. What happened? God in heaven just gave you orders. Oh, but I'm not very good at this. I don't know what to do. Friends, here's the truth. The Holy Spirit in you does not need to take a healing seminar. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit in you does not need to read a book on how to do a miracle. The Holy Spirit in you and me just needs to have someone to say, excuse me, do you have pain in your body? And get their permission for you to start ministering. That's all the Holy Spirit needs. I'll tell you this quick story from Norway. So Sandra and I are doing a healing conference. And it's Friday night, 3 sessions Saturday, and on the Sunday. So in the lunch, the homework during the lunchtime was if you're going to a restaurant, going shopping, doing anything, because we had like a 2.5-hour break, that everybody has to engage with one person and say, excuse me, but do you have pain in your body? So one lady comes back and gives the testimony. She said, oh, I can't do this. And the Norwegians are very much like many of us feeling, well, I can't do this. And apparently there's a thing in the Norwegian culture, which is that no one makes a scene. Nobody steps out. Everyone's just calm and you do what everyone else, you know, you just fit in and don't cause any ripples. And so this lady's going, I can't do that, I can't do that. And she went to a music concert downtown in Oslo in the afternoon. And someone came to her and said, excuse me, can you pray for me? I have need of healing. And she's going, the Lord just turned it right around. It was like, oh my goodness. So she sort of got the point. Anyways, we're at a restaurant. There's 7 of us. Sandra and I, some friends from Finland that had flown over to be there with us and just hang out with us. And so we're there. And we're sitting in a very nice restaurant, really upscale. By the way, take lots of money if you go to Norway. It's expensive. I made the mistake in the hotel of asking them if they could do some laundry for me. And I'm used to North American laundry prices, like, you know, $3 for a shirt and $2 for trousers. I spent $200 on laundry. I was like, oh my goodness. Yay, yay, yay. Anyways. It was clean. Yes, it was. Thank you, Sandra. Sandra's doing her stuff in the bathroom in the hotel, you know, wringing it out and holding, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm going, no, it's much too much work. I'll just get him. It won't be a problem. Yes, it was a problem. Anyways, back to we go to this really nice restaurant, and we're sitting there, and one of the girls had said, I said, you know, one of you has to talk to the waitress. And they're, can you show us how you do it? Okay. So I take the lead. So I'm being very nice to the waitress, asking all sorts of questions. And when you're a tourist, you can get away with all sorts of things. You just say, I'm a tourist, I'm from Canada, what's going on here, why about this? And you just ask all these questions and you begin to have a relationship. And at one point I say, can I ask a personal question? And she says, yes. And I said, do you have pain in your body? She says, no. Oh! It was her back, wasn't it? And all of us, she said, I haven't had back pain for months. And just when you said it, it's there. And it's like, well, say this with me. Repeat this with me. My healing blood. She's healed. Sandra has a prophetic word for her afterwards. And we go and share the prophetic word with her. She's overwhelmed. Guess what she does after the meeting? Or not after the meeting, after the meal. We're waiting in the car park. I'll tell that story in a moment. She runs out and says, did I hear you say that you're a speaker, that you're speaking somewhere? Yes. Can I come? Yes. Gave her the address, all that kind of stuff. Well, meanwhile, while we're having our meal, I'm noticing that there's a police officer tagging cars that have been parked illegally or parked overtime or whatever. And he's taking pictures of the cars and the tags on, and apparently that's one of the things that they have to do to prove that you got the ticket, was there's a ticket there and the picture and da-da-da-da. And we noticed an Asian gentleman, turns out to be a Korean man, who had a very unusual haircut. He had a mohawk with a ponytail. And I just found that a little interesting. Stand up. You don't have a mohawk, do you? No, sorry, you don't have to stand up. Anyways, where was my story? We're just sort of noticing this guy, and we're all looking at him, and then he starts walking, and he has a limp. And the pastor's wife says to this man, his name is Tron, you should go and minister to that man, sort of jokingly, and he jumps up and he runs. By the time he gets out onto the street, the man's gone. He goes to the police officer and he says, where did that man go? The Asian man that was just walking here. Oh, I think he went into that restaurant. He looks in, and sure enough, the man's sitting in the right by the glass in the restaurant. Tron goes in. This is a man who is not supposed to be anything but Norwegian, which means quiet, don't cause a ripple, don't go out of your way, don't do any of these things. Don't make a scene. Tron goes into the restaurant. He walks up to the man who's sitting with his girlfriend, and he says to them, excuse me, I saw you walking that you had a limp, and I want you to know that I used to have a limp. I used to be paralyzed, and I was healed by Jesus. Can I pray for you? And the man goes, well, I had polio, and one of my legs is 2.5 centimeters shorter than the other one. Can I pray for you? Well, I had polio, and he said it over. Apparently, he said it 4 times when he said, can I pray for you? Finally, the guy's girlfriend goes, let him pray. So he says, when he hears about the leg, he says, well, I think the problem is your leg needs to grow. And the man's like in shock. What do you mean my leg? Well, I think that's the problem. And Tron got on his knees in a restaurant in Oslo and had the man stick his 2 legs out, made sure that his rear end was right at the end of the seat, stuck his legs out, held them out, had the girlfriend watching, took his shoes off so there's no sort of goofy stuff going on, and they could both see his legs shorter. And he says, in the name of Jesus, grow, and it came out, they start screaming, they get saved right there on the spot. Amazing. Very, very good. It was like, Tron came back to the next day, there was 4 people, 3 ladies and a man, all had their legs lengthened, all people gathering around and watching, and it was just shock. Like when Sandra ministered to one girl on the Sunday morning that was in terrible pain. The doctor said she'd had her second child too soon to having the first child, and her pelvis was misplaced or misaligned or something like that, and so she's been in pain ever since, and I think her second child is like 6 years of age or something like that. And Sandra's ministering to her, and all sorts of inner healing that's taking place, good things taking place, but worse in terms of pain. And Sandra felt, when we're having the testimony time, that she needed to get up and testify. Sandra just had a word from the Lord, get her to share about the heart stuff, even though the physical hasn't changed. She shares about the heart stuff. You can tell she's in pain. She's emotionally, like she's right on the edge of just breaking down because too much pain. And Tron goes up to her and he says, because he heard her said that her legs aren't the right length. Sit down. Put your legs out. Husband comes. The daughter comes. The son comes. Friends come. Gather around. He puts his hand underneath. He says, in the name of Jesus, grow. And the leg just shot out. That lady said it was like an epidural went into her back and all the pain just went, just gone in an instant. We had some spectacular healings that took place while we were away. And I got paid crazy money. Like, I get paid for what the Holy Spirit's doing. It's not fair, but I'm happy. And almost none of these people did I minister to. I just sort of organized it. Stand up, let's pray for this person, do this, do that. I was just organizing the parade. And God was showing up through ordinary people. One more story to go real quick before we get to do it. When Jesus went into Simon Peter's house, this is the next part of verse 14, chapter 8. When Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her. That's the most common way that Jesus ministered, was by touching. He touched her, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word. Jesus' prayers were very short. They were commands. They weren't, oh, please, God, please, please, please. You won't see any of those prayers. It's like, out, stop, stand up, be healed. Those are the kind of prayers, prayers of faith. And he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. Seven stories in the Gospels where Jesus heals every single person in the crowd. Seven of them. Why would Jesus do that? Remember, he's under orders. It's because our Father in heaven cares about sick people, cares about those who have pain in their bodies. And here's what Matthew says, thinking back, writing his story 30 years after this happened. He says this, "This was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah. Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." And it would seem to be that the very torture of Jesus before the cross and on the cross was another reason for our healing. Not just the fact that God cares about us, but what Jesus went through is a second huge, by itself, would give us healing. But God cares about every single one of us, and he cares about our problems, he cares about life, he cares about everything. And Jesus came to help, didn't he? If you have any kind of bone problem, can I get you to stand up? If you got a structural problem, if you have arthritis, if you have hip problems, knee problems, you need a knee replacement or a hip replacement or anything that relates to your legs, to your back, those kind of things. You got pain in your neck, any kind of thing. All of a sudden people were thinking I was talking about your spouse. No, I wasn't talking about your spouse. Those of you that are seated, actually, those of you standing, hands up in the air. When someone comes to you, put your hand down. Those in your seats, could you find one person who has their hand up? Go to them. And when someone comes to you, just put your hand down. When you go to your friend, ask them where the pain is. Is it their shoulders? Is it their back? Is it their legs? Is it their hips? Just ask them real quick. Hands up if no one's come to you. Church, move around. Look. If three of you have gone to one person, can a couple of you peel off and find someone? There's some more hands up, friends. There's hands all over the room. So if you're not engaged, you're thinking this is for long-time 15-year members of our church. Uh-uh. We can bring the kids down, and greater miracles would happen if we did that, I'm sure. We still have a few folks that have hands up. There's some folks back over here. There's some folks over here. If there's two people, if there's two of you ministering to one person, can some of you leave one of them, or leave one person, but someone else move and find that person? Okay, I see still a couple hands of people over here. Are there some folks that can go over to this part? There's anyone in the center section not have someone with them yet? Anyone on this side that no one's with? Wave your hand like this if no one's come to you yet. Okay, there's one lady right up at the front here. Can I get one of you gentlemen? Have you got her, Peter? Great. Do you know where the pain is in their body? Those of you that have pain in your body, I'd like you to say this prayer. Sue, could you put that up one more time with me? Let's say the prayer at the bottom of this page. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. Now, those of you ministering, I'd like you just to command those bones to go back in place. Pray for alignment. Pray for order and for balance. Ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as you put your hand on them, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go into their body, that pain disappears, that pain leaves, and that the peace of God comes as a replacement. That's what you're praying for, is peace to come, pain to go. Ask for order and balance. Pray a prayer of command. Pray it as an order. Remember that centurion says to Jesus, just say the word, just give the order. And when Jesus ministered, it was sharp, short little prayers. The longest prayer that I can find of Jesus was, I think, 7 words. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come?